Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch. That was a bit new. An in-depth look at the Arches. You didn't even laugh. An in-depth look at the Arches with me. I was too nervous. I didn't commit to it. An in-depth look at the Arches with me, Harriet Carmichael, Fabulous Febreze, and Lucy Freeman. Oh, you've gone down on that.
I've relegated myself to third division. I'm third on the bill now.
You're way too modest. We all know you should be top. Now then, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
Well, having reviewed the week I was away, I was quite glad I missed it, as it was a total innuendo fest, and you know how I hate that. Ben was planning on entering Bess, which is probably taking sheepdog training too far, and Kenton found a hole he'd forgotten about. Goodness me. My favourite bit, though, wasn't rude, it was Shula. Shula deciding to try and blend in Sunderland by taking a tracksuit and a Greg's t-shirt, the snobby old cow, and then showing off about Daniel being operations officer in the same way you'd tell his Auntie Joan that he'd been made milk monitor or put in charge of chairs uptime. We will take the minutes in agenda order and I will deal with Chelsea's unborn baby issue at the end, but what I will say now is at the rate she's going, the child will be taking driving lessons before she's decided whether she wants it or not. It was a really vintage week this week, and I mean that in the sense of, it was the sort of thing I associate with the Archers 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. There was a whole load of loony guff about Kenton's diary and Janet Adkins and Clary snogging Kenton. Ugh. This raised a great many questions for me, and also a suggestion. I suggest henceforth a storyline that appears to be given too much seemingly nonsensical detail, but which then reappears later filling us with a sense of irritation, shall be known as a Janet Adkins. Like one of Hitchcock's MacGuffins, it gives you an aha feeling, followed by intense annoyance. Why on earth would a busy and semi-fulfilled woman like Jolene give two hoots about seeing the secret diary of Kenton Archer, age 63 and a half? Clary has quite a good figure. I saw her playing netball and her chest was wobbling. I felt a bit funny. I think this is it. Anyway, it opened the gates for a good deal of hilarious shenanigans with Jolene being rather cruel to Kenton and Clary, and then Eddie and Georgie getting in on the act. I like the idea, however, that Clary only snogged Kenton because she was at a loose end. Well, the chip shop was shut and I'd missed Mike Yarwood, so I thought I might as well. So now Georgie has got two blackmail opportunities within his own family. He knows Grandma Susan tried to break into the postbox and Kenton took Grandma Clary up Arkwright Hall. Also, Georgie, to add to his sins, seems to bring out the knob end in Eddie that I thought we had left behind as a sort of working class cheeky chappy always slightly on the dodge. Georgie took us right back also to the good old days of the Grundys selling dodgy meat by introducing some poultry to the Grundy flock, which presumably won't turn out to be turkeys at all, but will be rats covered all over with chicken feathers like smelly porcupines. It'll take everyone ages to realise, and then it will be like those clickbait wallies who discover after 3 years that the thing they thought was a puppy was actually a rabid crocodile. Question one, why does Eddie, who has lived in the village so long he can remember it when it had a functioning health service, need to give a sales patter when he's asking other villagers if they want a turkey? Question two, why is Leonard, who is 146, cooking dinner for two extremely fit and healthy people in their late 50s? And also, question three, how does a surveyor know anything about interior decoration? I thought their role was to tell you that everything in your house is in imminent danger of falling down or flooding. But that may be my slightly embittered attitude towards the whole house buying industry in general at the moment. Now, Question four, I may be speaking out of turn here, but honestly, did you ever see Ruth and David as style mavens? They inherited all their furniture, and not in an heirloom sort of way, but in a how would that lamp stay up if it didn't have that horrible Welsh dresser to stand on way. They've never redecorated as long as I've known them, and now they're all about statement walls. I suspect that when David said he wanted the room to be calm and functional, he meant cheap. Also, I know we're a little bit cagey about the expansion and contraction of Brookfield for plotical reasons, but how many bathrooms does it have? If I was paying 70 quid a night for B&B, I really wouldn't fancy being next in the bog after David's had a morning clear out. And I am very pleased to say that we have returned to this utterly enraging story about the stained glass window. I don't often find myself cheering Alan, but this time I did. Yay. The unbelievable cheek of a family thinking that everyone who comes to worship God in a building would be happy to do so in the literal shadow of one family whose only achievement is to have made more money than anyone else. Also, if, as Alan pointed out, the window takes 2 years to do, even if the diocesan whatever it is signs it off, to be accurate, the twins will have to be represented as snotty-faced toddlers with sippy cups full of Ribena and baggy little trousers at half-mast, courtesy of sodden nappies. Salvation for Alan came in the unlikely form of Shula, who told him to trust himself, which means presumably he's going to come marching into Peggy's house and tell her to stick her stained glass window up her second best tea service. What's the betting he'll come up with some weaselly manipulative way out of it instead? And talking of steely-eyed matriarchs, we had a somewhat strange scene with Jill, Ben and Beth. I don't know why she cooked sausages and mash when obviously it should have been fusilli alla mafia. So my children, Jill said, give me your hands. You are here to defend the House of Archer. I see a great future for you. If you let me down, you go off Lakey Hill the quick way. No pressure, Beth. And finally, the big Sword of Damocles storyline hanging over us all, Chelsea's pregnancy. In summary, then, we learned many things from the Chelsea Beth Ben situation, or CBBs, as I think we should call it. Babies are born when you spill a pint on someone. The best way to confess to a woman that you got pregnant by her boyfriend is to do it while you're holding scissors near her jugular vein, and that it's also a really good way of getting a free haircut. The end.
She isn't bothered about the pregnancy. She was just like, I can get my haircut for free. She was like, I assume this is on the house.
Because if it isn't, I've got quite a lot to say about the whole pregnancy thing. But seeing as you're being so good about the old haircut, it's fine.
Is it me? Or is that weird?
Yes.
If my boyfriend, even if we'd been on a break for a day, had gone and had unprotected sex with a 17-year-old, I would have been absolutely like plucking his eyes out.
Yes.
Just because of the irresponsibility of it. Mm-hmm. It's such an arrogant thing to... I was about to say male. Such an arrogant thing to do, Lucy. Mm. I mean, you mostly have to be a male to do it because of the organs. But but that's... I mean, what is far, whatever, having sex. But don't just go and have unprotected sex with a vulnerable 17-year-old.
Yeah, but he was completely off his head. Not that that's an excuse, but he...
Not an excuse, Lucy. That's what people... It's just not an excuse.
No, it isn't.
It's not an excuse. Because she's younger and... Yeah. Probably a bit in awe of him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she was able to say no, but it's silly, both of them. But like, and obviously.
But she went from him talking about it to her saying, because when he said, I've got something to tell you, and then he went, no, I won't tell you now because it's your birthday. And I thought, oh, for God's sake, you massive idiot. She's just, you know, this is bad enough. You've just made it worse. Anyway.
I was just going to wait till we have pudding. Let's just have this tiramisu and then I've got something to...
Mint? Oh, by the way. Also, I think... But she sort of went from saying, I can't look at you. I'm going to be sick.
Yeah.
And my stomach went thinking about it.
And
it was
she was
awful.
Physically sick, wasn't she?
And then the next thing is she's at the woman's house having her hair cut.
I don't like it. It's sort of patronising to Chelsea as well, isn't it? It's like there's this thing now around Chelsea and Tracy and that they're sort of like too good to be true so no one can be horrible to them.
Yeah.
And even though it wasn't Chelsea's... Well, I mean, Chelsea has to take a bit of responsibility as well. She had unprotected sex with... someone who she knew had only just come out of a relationship.
Yeah.
But it's like this tiptoe. Why, you know, no one's allowed to be horrible to Chelsea and Tracy because they've been through so much and it's not their fault. But it's like you naturally, even you would be so angry or upset or confused that you would just wouldn't go round there and be calm and have your haircut.
You would lash out. And even if you were
haircut about?
Even if you were the world's greatest feminist, you would still, the humanity, you know, and you think, no,
exactly.
You don't automatically blame the woman. There were two of them. This was him. He did this. He chose this. I'm the one that has a relationship with him. It wasn't her fault. She knew that we'd broken up, blah, blah, blah. You wouldn't be able to, I don't think you would physically be able to just sit in the same room with someone and then have, because having your haircut is actually quite an intimate thing. Yeah. There's a lot of eye contact. You're staring at the...
I'm usually looking in a mirror.
No, but there's eye contact through...
You're turning around. You're looking around.
Eye contact through the mirror. And you sort of...
I'm just reading hello. I'm like Winston Churchill. I don't want to... What did he say? How do you like your haircut? In silence.
Silence. Yeah, no, Jennifer Saunders does the same thing. She said, Dawn French comes into the room and thinks, right, I've got 2 hours. How can I make this person love me? And Jennifer Saunders comes in and says... Good morning. Please cut it, and shuts her eyes, and that's it. She doesn't open them again until it's done. Anyway,
you're right. It's a very intimate thing, but
because you're close, there's sharp things. You want someone to be calm when they're doing your hair and your ears.
I mean, I genuinely did think Beth was going to grab the scissors at the end.
Yeah,
I honestly thought there was going to be a twist because it was such a strange scenario. That she was having her hair cut and they were...
Harriet, there is no scenario in which you do not hope there's going to be some sort of twist. And you have a touching faith in the fact that there never has been one yet. And yet...
It was. Rob got stabbed.
That wasn't a twist. That was a thing. That was a, you know...
There should be more stabbings in the Archers.
There should. I thought it was lacking something. I hadn't realised what it was.
No, but so there was that. And then
fewer scones, more stabbing. That's what we like.
But then you're like, okay, I can deal with that. Maybe she's still in shock, Beth, you know, and it's nice for Chelsea and whatever. But then for Beth to go, I think it's going to be okay. And I love you. And I forgive you. You didn't mean to. It's like, are you joking?
Yeah.
He had to get his thingy out.
Yes.
Didn't fall on it. He had to stick it in there, which sometimes is harder than it looks.
Depending on the condition of the gentleman concerned.
You didn't mean to because you're so small. Yeah. I know. You
didn't realise it was happening.
Chelsea didn't even realise it had gone in. But all that, I was like, no, Beth.
Yeah.
No, at least give him a bit of grief. Come on. Also, you're agreeing to stay in a relationship with someone and it looks more and more likely that the baby's going to be born.
Yeah.
This is real. Also, Ben is a nurse. Why? And then he went and got himself tested for STDs.
Yeah.
But he didn't suggest to Chelsea that she, you know, it's, I just think he's been really arrogant and he's just been allowed to get away with a lot.
I think he's, but I'm sure, I think he was Ruth in shock out. And I think he was just in shock and he was kind of desperately trying to run away from what had happened and just forget about it. And also he was so happy that when he got back together with her, that he sort of blanked out the rest of it. I mean, teenagers and young people like that do have an amazing capacity for denial. It's unbelievable. But if you are in a long-term relationship with somebody and you have said, it's okay, I forgive you for having a one-night stand and getting somebody pregnant, and you don't actually get rid of that anger somehow, that you are going to hang that every single row they have from now until doomsday is going to be, what about that baby then? Do you remember that time?
But that's the thing. It'll always be there. And it's inconsistent because they had that whole boring turmoil about, like, I've been hurt before and you've hurt me again.
Yeah.
And then they get back together. But he didn't mention, oh, by the way, I did have a one-night stand.
Yeah.
And a couple of, like, if you want, if, you know, you got to tell me everything. So I'm surprised she's not angry that he didn't bother mentioning it.
Yeah.
I would be pissed off because I know they were split up or whatever, but I mean, at least mention it with Chelsea of all, you know, it's just weird.
Yes.
So I don't like
you didn't
this
enjoy this week very much at all, did you?
Absolutely. No, I did. No, Lucy, I did not. I did not like George at all. Ugh. I didn't like him making Eddie a dick.
Again,
and
yeah.
Kenton would be like, all right, mate, come on. It was like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Also, did you see on Twitter that there was, I'm sure it's perfectly feasible that Kenton was 16 and Clary was 20, but is it Leo that's like got all the facts about
Leo Horsemeyer?
Yeah, he's got like super facts, hasn't he? And I think I took a photo of it. I think he because somebody was like, hang on a minute, isn't Kenton much younger than Clary?
Ooh.
And back in 1970, what's it? Or was it earlier? Kenton was 16 and Clary was 20. So that's a bit weird as well. But anyway, it doesn't bother me. Whatever. It's just...
It bothers me now.
It is a bit weird. But also, like, Kenton... There's no way... If Eddie was like that, it just wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It annoyed me.
Yeah.
And... Didn't Eddie used to have a bit of a thing with Jolene
as
well?
Yes, he wanted to date Jolene before he
went out with Clary. So it didn't really make sense to the truth of the characters, I didn't think. And that annoyed me. And then I didn't like Beth backing down and it all being... And Ben getting away with it and Chelsea being all forgiving.
That kind of resurgence of annoying Eddie...
Oh, it
was
horrible.
Annoying because he's grown out of that now.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying him being growing into himself and not being this sort of constant clown and constant, you know, it's like one of Shakespeare's rude mechanicals sort of thing, actually being a proper well-rounded person. And now he's back to sort of sniggering away with a teenager.
Oh,
and
George is so unlikable.
He's one-dimensional.
I feel really sorry for the actor because... It's really hard to play that, isn't it?
Just I mean, if Georgie got backed over by a tractor, we'd all just think, good, right, next, you know, that done.
And Eddie,
that's not what you want when you're playing a character.
I mean, like, he's old and wise enough now to go, why are these, what are they called,
the baby turkeys.
I never heard that word before. Pout. Because you'd go, but why are they £5 a pout? Like, where is the farm? What is the problems?
Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't.
Rather than
Eddie,
just going,
but...
ooh, 70 quid a thing.
Yeah, and... when you know
but
your grandson
been...
is a shit, because Eddie's already admitted he's a shit, so...
And Eddie's been done before for selling dodgy meat, so he knows all about provenance stuff. He works at the sodding... cattle market.
You're
for
right.
A start.
They're definitely going to be peacocks or something, aren't they?
No, they're going to be nicked. They're going to be turkeys because there is a big thing about
they're
people.
They're going to be Bernard Matthews, nicked from his farm.
They're going to be in already packed in little freezer bags, aren't they?
Oh my god!
I never said they were alive, Grandad.
And then they were like 75 quid profit. And I was like, hang on a minute, guys. Haven't you got to take into consideration like feed, energy costs, land?
Yes, and energy costs this year as well. That's going to be, you know, you're starting off at a loss.
Surely there's some sort of lighting in those turkey.
Unless you sort of
bombs.
Lightly barbecued them for the next 6 months. I think that's probably the.
Oh, you've got to fatten them up with something.
Mm.
I didn't like it because, Lucy, usually I love it, don't I? But I didn't like the diary.
No.
I didn't like the reading of the diary because, again, it's like, who, does that sound like a 16-year-old writing a diary? It didn't.
And also, Jolene's got too much self-respect. She knows she's got the upper hand in that relationship. She wouldn't give a monkey's who he'd slept with before.
No, but I agree. I liked the fact that she was like, she was teasing him because, you know. She...
I know, but not poor old Clary as well. I'm very protective of Clary. I don't know why.
But Jolene has got a little bit of a bitch.
Yeah, she has.
I believed all that. That was fine. Mm. But it's just the way the diary is written.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I sat down at the table with my father. It was
And we
laid
talked
really
about
nicely.
Harold Wilson.
Don't you just... Dennis Wright had dinner.
Yeah.
It was...
Wet dream about Susie Quattro
exactly,
again.
Exactly, yeah.
Lost my socks. That's it. That's it, yeah.
I hate Dad.
Yeah.
I
Dad
hate
is a
Dave.
Prick. Mm.
Yeah, it was just oddly written.
Yeah.
It was like that scene in Mamma Mia, the movie, where they're like, oh, I love it. It's dot, dot, dot. She's reading from her mum's diary and it's all like set to music and it's all really, I love it, but it's all kitsch and
right.
I don't know. It just felt a bit unrealistic, didn't
it? Yeah, it did. And there was a lot of people acting out of character, including Shula sounding happy, which was deeply disturbing.
What's weird is Shula actually staying in the show, but she's going to do a Debbie now, isn't she? She's only going to be on the phone.
Hello. Shula, I can't hear you.
Yes, Ellen, just trust yourself. Oh, Shula, my angel. Trust yourself, Ellen. Come on, Ellen. Come on now.
I was thinking when Usha was being all sort of gnomic and saying, well, there is someone else you could ask. I was thinking, God? I mean, should he not be talking to God because he's a vicar rather than a woman that runs a stable? I don't know. But, you know, I'm an amateur at this shit, obviously. But, you know, I sort of thought God would be your first port of call.
Shula is God.
Of course. I hadn't realised.
It's so funny.
That storyline. It makes me, honestly, it makes me want to go and sell copies of The Socialist Worker out. Living Marxism.
Oh,
outside
God.
The tube station.
The stained glass window.
Oh.
You can't bear it.
I can't.
But
the arrogance of it.
Yeah, but now they're addressing that, which is good.
Yes.
That to me was the highlight storyline.
Yes.
Because the ridiculousness of it is actually now becoming a storyline.
Yes.
And that's good.
Yeah.
And the arrogance is going, you know, is
yeah.
going to be.
And it is highlighting the arrogance of that we've all known about for ages, but there's the archers and.
And I like that Alan's got, you know, like, he's like, yeah, this is
yeah.
bad.
And we, they have always been treated by, it's almost like by the BBC and the programme with this sort of reverence.
Yeah.
And therefore the audience. And it's only now that we're going, no, you know, they're no better than anybody else. And, you know, there's, ugh. And I don't know what she's done for the village, apart from the rewilding thing, which she gave to her granddaughter.
Yeah, she's only given money to her own
family.
I'm sure she'll have given to you. You can Peggy will definitely have given loads of money to the church for bell towers and new cassocks or whatever. But so she'll have been. She'll be. I bet you she's a big donor to the church.
Mm.
But you know, if your vicar says, "Hang on a minute," this probably isn't appropriate. Hang on a minute. Can I speak to Peggy about it, please? Oh, darling. It's just not possible. Sorry. She's where is she? Because that's it, isn't it? We're not going to hear back from Peggy.
Oh, it's of course. Be like, so it's all so.
Lillian is
gonna
going to be the messenger.
Yeah, she's like the Pope. So Peggy's God. Lillian's the Pope, and then poor old Alan's getting the messages from on high. I love the fact that no matter what I was listening to the Archers this evening. Lillian talking to Alan in the church. No, in the tea rooms. And the rain was lashing horizontally at the windows. And then Lillian goes, all right, darling, I'll see you later. Clop, 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 clop. And I thought, she's still wearing slingbacks. There is no weather. In snow, you would be able to hear Lillian going, clop, 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 over the thing with her little mules on or whatever they are.
We haven't heard about the kitchen for a while.
Good. Oh, I'm sorry. You'd like it.
Yeah, I even made a little video about it.
Do you know what? I was completely lost last week because you were talking about hashtag Renault. And I was thinking, but they
oh
make
my God.
Cars.
Oh, my God.
What's she talking? And it was literally about a week later. I thought, oh, renovation. Oh, I see.
It crossed my mind that you might have thought I was talking about the car. And then I was like, no, she wouldn't think
she's
that.
Not that out of touch. Turns out she is. Who'd have thought?
No, I put on Instagram. I did a reel, Lucy.
Oh, did you?
You got to do reels now. But, and it was like Lillian talking to her smart tab. And the smart tab was going, do you want, because Justin had been playing with the settings. And the smart tab was just going, do you want it hot? You know, I can be hot. Let me be hot for you. But then I didn't put it on Twitter because I thought, it's too saucy.
Yes, you'll just get loads of perfs.
There's too many people.
Well, I can name three people off the top of my head who'd have immediately liked it and gone, oh, Harriet. Gone all trouser leg rubby and dribbly.
Luckily on Instagram it only gets like 30 views. But I nearly put it on, and then I was like, no, I just can't risk
it.
Yeah, hot baby. Let's, yeah, hotter, Lillian. Would you like it hot, hot? Justin loves it hot. But anyway, if
it's more likely to be
Instagram. It's on there, guys.
It's more likely to be. Justin suggests that you ring Linda. Let's get Linda round to look at the tap. Yeah.
Linda likes it hot.
Linda would like a cup of tea. Get her round.
But the smart tap just stuff has just gone away.
Yes. Well, yes, because it is quite visual, isn't it?
But I think that was just that was all shelved, sort of. Is that a pun? Because it sort of didn't go anywhere. It could have been fun, couldn't it? The kitchen or not? Oh, no. No, just me.
Well, but we've got to come back to that,
anyway,
haven't we?
We've got new Renault now, haven't we? We've got a really, really exciting changing rooms thing going on.
When he was showing them the things... What was it?
Did
he was showing them?
Did he do some digital sketches, do you think?
He's done a CAD course, has he, at the University of the Third Age or whatever it's called?
Because whatever it was terribly impressive, wasn't it? Was it just pencil sketches? Or, I mean, he had some colours.
It's a bedroom. It's a little bedroom in a little farmhouse. How could it possibly be a spectacle? I mean, unless he had, like, multicoloured fountains, like one of the Kardashians' bedrooms or something, in the corner. It's only going to be a bed and
a
chair,
bedroom.
Maybe.
Boutique-y. I can't imagine that. I mean, because also... The bedroom is one thing, but if you want a boutique-y feel, don't you have to do the whole landing, as you said, the bathroom?
Yeah.
You've got to walk through that skanky old farmhouse before you get to your green bedroom, and you're like, oh my God.
And I bet you anything, they've still got an avocado bathroom.
Oh my God. You know. Well, at least it's green. Bess will have done a poo outside their bedroom door.
Yeah.
It would be horrible staying there.
Yeah.
You've got Jill just wandering around aimlessly. Leonard trying to find her. Oh, sorry. Just looking for Jill.
Jill is starting... I couldn't figure out who she...
She's getting old.
I know, she sounded like Liz Smith. This episode.
I don't want to laugh about it because it's sad. Well, it's not sad. Everyone gets old, don't they? But
it also makes us...
older.
And it makes... me feel older. I don't like it because it makes me feel older, because it's suggesting to me that I have been listening to this program for far too long now.
Well, I mean, Jill's always had boundless energy.
Yeah.
And apparently she still does, because she's like cooking dinner for teenagers.
Yeah.
But they haven't really addressed what we can hear,
which
is that she sounds a bit older. And I think maybe they could say something. Although maybe they did. They did have a slow down, mum.
You're right, mum. You're sounding a bit old.
Yeah, or like, or maybe it's, no one else has noticed. But I mean, she's still absolutely got, completely with it, isn't she?
Yeah, she's still faintly terrifying. If I was Beth, I'd be running for the hills.
You're right. Ooh, you're wearing the pendant.
Yes.
And it's like...
However much that necklace is worth, it's not worth that, Beth. Get out. Get out now.
I love it. Oh, Beth is so so sycophantic, isn't she?
Yeah.
I love it. I love Ben. I love you. I love these... Gris gravy.
I love the possibility of inheriting this whacking great farmhouse and living somewhere interesting where I can pursue my country career, because my father can't help me with that, even though he's got loads of money.
You know what, Ben? Let's stay together. But Chelsea's kid and Rosie are going to be... Pip's going to be absolutely pissed off, isn't she?
Yep.
That Rosie's going to have a horribin' cousin. She's not going to like that. Because it's inevitable now, isn't it? Chelsea's keeping the baby.
Well, and let Cooper, what are you eating? What are you eating?
Oh, no. What is it, Lucy?
I don't know. Spit it out.
Oh, yuck. Ooh.
Drop it.
Ooh.
No, don't go and look for it outside. It's in your mouth, you idiot. Drop it.
Ew. What is it, though?
I don't know. It's a piece of plastic, I think. Cooper, drop it.
Cooper. Mm. Cooper.
Look, even
Cooper.
Auntie Harriet is saying,
Cooper.
Drop it now.
Cooper. 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 Cooper.
This is like one man and somebody else's dog.
Fenton! Do you remember that?
Yes. I think that What was I going to say?
Babies. Babies.
Babies. I think it's going to be an adoption job. Because of Alistair.
Oh my God.
Because she was asking Alistair
oh my God, Lucy. Oh my God. You've actually just slapped me around the cheeks. And that would make sense of Beth loving.
Yeah.
This is absolutely... I take it all back.
I'm going to have this baby and I'm going to give it to somebody that really wants one.
Bloody
hell. Can't.
Oh my God, Lucy. No, she's going to give it to Ben and Beth.
No. She'll give it away. Why would she give it to Ben and Beth?
Because what's the point of Ben and Beth staying together, et cetera, et cetera? What's going to happen is she's going to go, I can't keep it, but I don't want to... And then Ben will go, or Beth will go, why don't we bring it up? And they will bring it up.
If I bring it up, can I have another necklace?
You take my pendant.
I'll have the baby.
That creates dramas, Lucy. Come on, mate. I'm thinking like a scriptwriter.
You're thinking like a lunatic. I think that's not going...
I'm betting on it with you.
Neither of them want to have a child.
Yeah, but I think they might feel that it's either that or for Beth's sort of point POV, it's... Chelsea and Ben have a co-parenting situation, or her and Ben have a parenting situation, and Chelsea's out the picture. But
well,
she won't
I think
be out
she
the picture.
Gives it up
She'll
for
be
adoption.
Popping in. Yeah, to them, mate.
No,
to them.
To somebody else.
No, because but then the problem will just go away.
Yes, hurrah!
Okay, well, I'm betting with you. How much should we bet? £2.50.
Yeah.
I know, a Tony's Chocolonely.
Okay.
I'm betting you that...
Not the massive, great multi-pack one, because that's a fortune.
Oh, yeah, no, that's over 100 quid.
Yeah,
my goodness,
yeah. Not that.
No, I'm not that keen on...
Oh, that reminds me. I'm doing my... I don't know why it reminds me, but anyway. I'm doing my Christmas puddings tomorrow. Do you want me to make one for your dad? A little one.
Oh, my God. It's September. Is it your stir-up Sunday?
Yeah, it's October tomorrow.
Oh, Lucy, that would be so adorable.
Okay, I've got a little
oh
pot, so I'll make him.
Oh, gosh, a little
one.
Ramekin?
Yeah. No, not a ramekin, a proper pudding.
Oh, are you sure? Have you got any mincemeat?
Oh, fuck's sake. Don't you worry your metropolitan little head about how I'm making the Christmas puddings. As if by magic, just pretend it's Waitrose. If that makes it easy, I'll write it all out on a sticky label. And I'll brand it so that you can feel comfortable that it's, you know.
And then we'll take a photo of it lit.
Yes.
And put it on our Instagram. Oh, sorry, my Instagram.
Okay, yeah. Then we'll do that.
That's so exciting. Thanks. Is it going to be a Stir Up Sunday Archers then on Sunday?
I don't think so. Well, we'll have to find out next Sunday, won't we?
Yeah, how exciting, Lucy. Something to look forward to.
Whoa.
Anyway, I take it all back. This week was a brilliant week if my prediction's coming true.
Okay.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We have the best named fan ever.
Oh, yeah.
Beatrice Bramble. You see, that's how I'm going to brand my Christmas pudding. This is a Beatrice Bramble Christmas pudding.
Surely someone's written a storybook about her.
She says, first off, I have to say I love the podcast. I've been listening for a few months, but had to write in for the first time to defend young fans. In this week's episode, while discussing whether or not abortion resources could be mentioned on The Archers, there was a joke about how no 18-year-olds listen anyway. But I started listening to The Archers 5 years ago when I was only 20. I'm from the US as well, so I became a fan on my own. I listen on, off and on, and people do make fun of me for it. But please know there is at least one fan in her 20s. I'm currently on holiday in the UK and have been making friends with grannies everywhere I go talking about The Archers.
Unbelievable.
Looking forward to next week's episode, BB. Beatrice Bramble, you have A, the best name ever, and please don't write and tell us that's not really your name.
Well, I was going to say, but also, not only is it a great name, but it's a great name for a 25-year-old.
I know.
Because if someone was saying, you're having lunch with Beatrice Bramble tomorrow, I would think she might be a little older than 25.
Yep, and also, it sounds like one of, you know those...
And it doesn't sound very American.
No. And you know those books that have pink covers and there's always a woman with one leg in the air and a champagne glass on the front of it? And... There was just like, you know, The Amazing Summer of Beatrice Bramble or something like that is what they're called.
Yes, exactly.
So are you a chick lit character, Beatrice Bramble, or are you a real person?
And where are you from in America?
Yes.
How did you get listen? Because if you're in
How
America,
did you even find The Archers?
Exactly. I was wondering that the other day. How does The Archers... How do you discover this?
Is there Archer's outreach that we don't know about?
Exactly. Also, are you on TikTok, which I've recently joined, because you're young and I'm quite young and I'm really loving TikTok. I can't believe I hadn't had it on my phone before.
No.
Honestly, Lucy, I literally laughed till I cried at some of the people on TikTok are just so funny and clever. And the content they make or share is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes,
I mean, you know, like proper quality funny stuff.
Yeah.
Some of it's not. I get too many. I don't know why. When I flick up, sometimes I get like women with big boobies. But I'm hoping the algorithm will learn I don't want to see any of that. I think when you join, it just gives you like everything.
Surely everybody likes someone with big boobies, right? Oh, you don't. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It just doesn't make me laugh.
No, it's just not funny, really.
Fine to look at. It's just not as funny as seeing Boris Johnson talking with a squeaky voice, or Prince Charles talking about his, his bloody pen.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
With a Geordie accent.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just funny. I'm just new to it, Lucy, and I'm lolling like crazy. So anyway, I've joined. So, hey, Beatrice.
Do you want people to follow you on it?
No, not really, because I'm not going to. I'm just going to go on it as a spectator. But
okay,
Beatrice, if you're on there, then let me know, because I can like have a. I've only got two friends on TikTok.
No, in real life, she's only got two friends, and one of them's made up.
the other one's you.
Yeah. One of them's Cooper.
Oh my God, I love Beatrice Bramble.
Bramble.
Let's write her into a sketch.
Okay.
Good.
She can be our...
young person.
No. Our... What's the name of the bloody woman? Janet Adkins.
Oh, yeah.
She can, Beatrice Bramble can be our Janet Adkins. There we go.
It was a lovely sunny morning and Beatrice Bramble... woke up and stretched.
Beatrice Bramble the bumblebee yawned and stretched and looked outside of her little hidey hole.
Little rabbit knocked on the door. Beatrice. Yeah, all that. Be great.
Cooper, will you stop it? You hound from hell.
He's got excited about Beatrice Bramble.
He has.
I can't even say her name. It's Beatrice Bramble. Imagine saying Beatrice Bramble when you've had too many glasses of wine. Beatrice Bramble.
Hello, what's your name? Doesn't matter. Sorry, I just leave it. It's fine.
BB Bramble.
We had two from Virginia O'Rourke. Because she got in the muddle about her prediction for the storyline. So first of all, she got very, very worried. She was what you can hear is Cooper throwing all the sofa cushions round the office, by the way, if you can hear funny bumping noises in the background.
No, we can't hear anything, Lucy, honestly.
Okay. She said, I'm relieved that Ross isn't grooming another teenage partner. I'm a little disappointed he wasn't the father of Chelsea's baby.
Yeah.
The drama of that could have been cracking, but nowhere near as entertaining as Freddie or Ben being the father. The clash of class, snobbery and entitlement would be great. Then she was started worrying that it was Georgie. Then she said that she's fed up with the horror bins having an entire decade filled with misfortune of Dickensian proportions. I mean, come on, there's been more misfortune that hit the horror bins than the entire Dickens back catalogue, or what I imagine was an entire season of EastEnders back in the 1980s. So then she then recanted that and messaged again, went, hooray, I'm so happy my prediction was wrong and Ben is the father. My inner mischief elf is dancing foot to foot in anticipation of where the scriptwriters will take this version of the Brian, Jenny, Siobhan triangle for Ben, Chelsea and Beth. Oh, yes. Yeah, so that's what you were saying, isn't it? It's a Brian, Jenny, Siobhan triangle.
Yes. Was I saying that?
What? Yeah. Well, no, you said she's going to adopt her, like Jenny adopted Rory.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to hear Beth work through if she can ever trust Ben again, and the sound of Ruth, oh, gnawing, and Tracy's disbelief of what Ben Archer, Ben. Will this be the pivot point for Vince wanting to call in his loan to David for the solar panels? Will Josh burst at the seams with judgment towards Ben now Rory has slung his hook, and then when there will be Pip's reaction to what a heady mix.
Oh my god, I've got a headache thinking about it.
And maybe now I'll be able to tell Josh and Ben apart a bit better, she says.
It is hard still. It is hard.
I'm raising a toast to the scriptwriters for all the ways these plot lines could play out. After wishing them a decade of Dickens-style horrors if they revealed Georgie to be the father, I have to wish them a decade full of good cheer. From Ginny. Thank you, Ginny.
Yeah.
Jake said, hello, lovely people.
Hello.
He says, Ben? Really, Ben? That Ben? The nurse? Nice, lovely Ben? No, it was Rory. I'm assuming his sperm just slipped into the wrong person. Either that or Ben is now the penitent for the whole of Ambridge. If the writers could make a more miserable and difficult story, it probably would involve Lillian and Brad. Thanks for your lovely work, Jake. Yay! Lillian and Brad. Joanne Lynn said, Ben, you are... She's headed it. Oh, Ben, he's such an idiot. I mean, telling Beth, yes, something's wrong, but I don't want to tell you on your birthday, so let's wait. As if any woman ever would reply, OK, great, thank you for being so thoughtful. Let's sit down and talk about it tomorrow evening then. And in the meantime, let's go have some fun. Also, what actual good does it do for Ben to tell Beth about this before he even knows if Chelsea's going to keep the baby?
I agree. Yeah.
It's not going to do anything but make Beth upset. They'd split up at the time, so he wasn't actually cheating on Beth. And he feels bad about it and wants to stay with Beth now and be faithful. So I can't think of a single good reason to tell her what happened unless it turns out that Chelsea's going to keep the baby. Way to sabotage your relationship, Ben. It's a very Friends storyline, isn't it? We were on a break.
But they were only on a break for like 2 days. But
yeah.
Also, they were on a break because she thought he'd kissed someone. And so she was still feeling vulnerable about... But yeah, I do think, why would you... I mean, I know the sort of, I know you can't put pressure on someone, but you'd be aching to know, and you'd be going, shall we talk about the options?
Yeah.
But I, you know,
everybody is being far too, well, it's like you said, everybody is being incredibly.
It's your decision.
Caring and nurturing and supportive in a way that, and a public information, you know, if you were doing a drama for sixth formers about abortion, this is how you'd want it to play out. But it's not real life. It's not. Some people would be saying, you have got to make... And also, she would have gone to the sodding doctors.
Oh, I know. Well, it's just annoying now, isn't it? Because also, time is ticking by. So,
and who's she asking? A vet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a bit... It's just the sort of non-urgency about it is a bit... Unbelievable, isn't it? Even like Beth, if I was Beth, I'd be like, just tell me, are you going to keep it? Because if you're not, maybe there's...
And if you're not, I'm having eye lights and I'm not paying for them either.
And I think I would be the same. I like Josh's idea of like... Because I thought what was going to happen was Ben was going to go away with Macbeth to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And just let it play out and then come back and face it. That's what I would have done. I would have just run away.
Mr. Newby made the mistake of doing a big plot prediction. He said, right, I'm calling it. I know what's going to happen. Beth's going to go to, I can't remember what it was, Beth's going to go to New Zealand on her own and she won't come back. We'll never see her again. Chelsea's going to have the baby. She's going to get together. He wrote this whole thing. And then like literally 10 minutes later, he had to go, well, that all wasn't, that didn't happen at all, did it? It was the biggest climb down, biggest and most rapid climb down I've ever seen.
Never bear your predictions to Twitter.
No. Afterwards, go, I knew that would happen, but don't risk it beforehand.
I called it.
Yes, I said that. It. And look, 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 here's a photo of when I thought about tweeting it, except I didn't. Because that was a bit scared.
I deleted a tweet I tweeted tonight because I just said, you put your... You did mean to. You put your cock in it, and then I just thought, you know, like a sort of like, you know, when you just instinctively shout at the radio and tweet it instead of just shouting. And then I don't want.
Sometimes
to have
on Twitter, we need to use our inside voices. I think our inside head voices. No, think it doesn't need to come out of the mouth or the keyboard. Mm-mm-mm. No.
I just took it down, Lizzie, because I just didn't want... I didn't want the cock infecting the rest of my rather innocent tweets.
Yes.
And reels, etc.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. You don't mind boobies, but you draw the line at cock.
I do. Mm. I do. Rufus said, why don't you just say stick it in? And I was like, that's as bad as saying stick your cock in, isn't it? Stick it in.
Stick it in.
Anyway... It's fine. I'm over it. It's fine. Can I just do a shout out to, just a little shout out into one of my Instagram buddies, Lucy, at Organized Interiors, who obviously knows that I'm into kitchen renos. And no, she is called, I think she's called Little Feet. No, what's she called? Oh, Naomi Duffery on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I guess she knew that we were talking about kitchen renovations, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, she suggested I follow what I think is probably her business Instagram, which is called @organizedinteriors. Oh, it's really great. If you like storage type things, oh, it's lovely.
It's sound a little aroused, Harriet.
Well, I am, because I don't live my life like that. Because my life is chaos. When I see someone with like neat shelves with plastic boxes with stuff in, or just sort of things artfully put on a shelf looking really nice, it just makes my heart flutter. Anyway, thought I'd give her a shout out. If you're on Instagram, give her a follow. She doesn't need it. She's got thousands of followers. But if you like that sort of account, @organizedinteriors. And Naomi, you're probably not listening, but if you are, I just did a nice thing. Thanks.
We had a furniture designer design us some. He designed and built some. He did the kitchen and he also did some bookshelves and things. And, or some shelves, you see. And I said, they're way too massive to put books on. I don't have books that big. And he said, no, they're for objet.
Objet.
And I said, but I haven't got any objet. And he went, well, you better get some objet. And I thought, why do we keep saying the word objet? This is ridiculous. I said, no, these are books. I don't have any objet. I don't want any objet. Well, I do have boxes full of books. Could you please make the shelves fit my books? They are the only objet I'm interested
objet?
In.
Thank do you very mean much. Knick-knack?
Yeah. Ornaments.
I've got plenty of knick-knacks.
I've got lots of knacks, but very few knicks.
But if anyone wants an Insta shout out, Lucy, I'm really happy to do that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thanks.
Can I have one?
Yeah. You haven't got an Instagram.
But I just want a shout.
Newbie's on Instagram, actually.
Is he? Oh, yes, he is, isn't he?
Yes. What's he on as, actually? Is he on as Jeff? We were chatting the other day. You're missing out. You're missing out.
There's some nice.
Actually, I have to say, the Instagram vibes are very nice.
Oh, are they?
Tonka Thomas.
Yes. They're not all mad like the. So he's Tonka Thomas on Instagram, is he?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You should go on it.
Are they not all? They're not all mad like the cross Facebook people.
No, they're lovely. No, because basically all the people I follow just have done kitchen renos.
Okay.
So all you're doing is just looking at people's lovely bathrooms. Oh yes. Or
you're
bedrooms.
Weird.
Oh, it's nice. I find it soothing. Okay. I'm basically. A bit like, no, I'm nothing like Ruth and David, sorry. But if they did post their bedroom reno,
you're like a minimalist voyeur. You don't want to do it yourself, but you...
No, it just soothes me seeing seeing rooms that look nothing like mine.
Okay.
Because, you know, I sort of think one day, I'll never live my life like that. But
one day I'll just be able to get into bed without having to move things off the bed.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
You know my pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just having small
having
children, isn't
children
it?
Off my bed yes. would be
yeah.
a start.
Yeah. yeah. Or someone's homework or some pants. Mm. Yes.
Or like cat vomit.
Oh.
You know, just came back the other day and there was just cat. Oh, it was disgusting. Uh-oh. Anyway, and it had obviously been there for days because it had dried. Yeah, I
well,
know.
You haven't been to bed for days?
Well, it wasn't in our bedroom.
Okay, good.
But no one had noticed. No one had noticed. Anyway.
Well, they had noticed and they'd thought, I'll wait for the yeah. mother one. That one in the dress thing. She does that. Mm. Anyway, exactly. I'm going out now. Goodbye. Yes.
Anyway, have you yes. seen my maths homework?
Yeah.
anyway, so yeah.
Oh, what happened about Sockgate? Was everything all right with the height of the socks?
Sockgate. I can't even remember.
The WhatsApp group, the mum's group about the length of the socks.
Oh, God. Oh, luckily, we're 2 weeks in or 3 weeks into secondary now. It's much calmer. Everybody's calmed down. I mean, today there was a whole thing about... I'm not being funny, but so-and-so left his blazer in the Astro, and I'm not saying anyone took it deliberately. Oh. I'm just saying, could you please all check the labels? And it's like, you are saying someone took it.
Yeah.
You're blaming someone else for taking your kid's blazer when they've probably just left it in the classroom. Because, you know, there's no way he would have left it. It definitely got picked up by somebody
else. Oh, I love that.
Else.
There's no way he would have left it. He's 11. Of course he left it.
But, yeah, it's just that sort of stuff now. Standard. Yes.
Passive-aggressive parenting. Yeah.
Really.
Yep.
And it was a really long text. So no one's going to get to the bottom of that text,
no.
are they?
No.
You just have to say...
And it's
yeah.
only when some kid puts his hand in his pocket and discovers that there's the wrong pencil case in there. That's the only way that kid is getting that blazer back.
Because also, the parents, as much as they go, yeah, I'm going to check, they're just not going to check.
No.
They won't remember. They've got too many other things to do.
Yes.
It's a real difficult quandary, Lucy, actually.
What
just,
is?
Well, you know, a kid loses... I just think whenever a kid loses a thing at school, you're not going to find
no,
it until the end of term,
yeah.
lost property,
yeah.
pile. You just yeah. have to accept it's gone.
Yeah.
You just got to accept it.
Yeah. My friend's kid is on his third jumper and he's only been at school. He started the school... He started the school 10 days
yeah,
ago.
I know. Tell me about it. So is my son. But he hasn't got a third jumper because he lost the first one. I said, I'm not buying another one. It's not that cold yet. We have to wait for the secondhand sale.
Yes.
But
when you buy your own jumper back again, when it
yeah.
pops
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's somewhere. It's somewhere.
Yes.
And eventually it'll go into a pile.
Yes.
And then you can get it back.
Yes.
But
and it will
just...
smell a bit odd because it won't smell like your child because someone else has been washing it for the last 3 weeks.
Also, I can never blame anyone because I never bother putting names. Because the term starts, if you get a new jumper, you're like, oh, I'll write their names in it in a couple. But by the time you remember,
yeah.
it's gone.
Yeah.
And you're not getting it back if there's no name in there. Anyway, sorry, this is...
Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, everybody.
Retune now.
Retune. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, back to... So how's Rosie getting on at school, Lucy?
Rosie?
She has
no one's going to be wearing her jumpers, let's face it.
That's so rude. So rude. Hey, Rosie's lost a... Is it this really massive one?
We thought it was a parachute. I'm only being rude about this because they made such a palaver about a child being... slightly overweight. And now it's gone. So, you know.
Isn't that weird?
And personally, I don't
come?
Care if Rosie is the size of a house. Good luck to her. Helen
happy,
Sherwood.
Happy International Podcast Day, by the way.
Thank you very much. Yes, Ed, for reasons, I am not posting a photo of myself. Harriet is posting a photo of herself because she's wearing a woolly hat and looks very glamorous, apparently.
Well, no, I definitely... don't look I am wearing a woolly hat, that bit's right.
Okay,
but the lighting in here is terrible. It's a toilet with spotlights, Lucy.
Oh, ooh.
Doesn't take a nice photo.
No,
I might have to put a filter on it. Anyway, by the time I post it, it'll be tomorrow and then it's not
yes
international
and then it
podcast.
Won't be International Podcast Day, so it'll just be a picture of you in a hat.
So I'm just not going to post it.
Winter
if we
Harriet
can't if we can't be in it together, it's not going out.
Well, we can't be in it together.
No, well, I mean, side by side. I would have just posted us side by side.
Oh.
I would have done a little, you know, Photoshop thing.
Okay.
But we'll do it next time, Lucy. Okay. Next time. When okay. your mask comes off.
Okay.
She's got a face mask on. She's got bananas on her eyelids.
I look like Phantom of the Opera. Helen Sherwood has emailed and said she is suffering from COVID.
No!
That's very retro, Helen. We're not having that anymore. We're all having colds now because none of us are testing. So actually, we have all got COVID, but we're just pretending it's cold.
No, what you want / don't want is flu and COVID. That's the new COVID. Flu and COVID. COVID flu.
Fluvid.
Fluvid. Yeah. That's the new one.
She said she really missed us last week because she needed a laugh because she was poorly sick.
Oh, Helen, so I miss you too.
She said, I resorted to Great British Bake Off and Extra Slice. Mr. Sherwood was wondering if I'd written into them as well, but that had involved making a cake. And my decoration is at the standard of the contestant who'd only be kept in for comedy value. Me too. Even the bad ones. I just look at it and think, there's no way on this earth I know how you're doing that. I just don't know. Anyway, I am looking forward to hearing you rip into the tragic storyline. Poor Chelsea. I want to see her take the brave step of termination. Undoubtedly, Radio 4 will shy away from it and then go on to be a top-notch hairdresser. We live in hope. Have they had...
Did Lizzie yes. have a termination?
Yes.
But has there not been an abortion since then?
Nope.
Wowzers.
Wow. It would be quite a big deal, I think.
Well, it would, especially now. I mean, you know.
No, I meant Chelsea going on to be a top-notch hairdresser. No, I'm joking. Yeah, no, I did mean that thing. Febreze will have to look to his laurels. Right, this is Sarah Kellaway, who says... Plot predictions. The new turkeys will be ropey avian flu carriers and George's dodgy dealings will take down the whole Grundy flock by October.
Oh my God, there's avian flu, isn't there?
Yeah. As a poultry man, I'm sure he'd be more aware of the current issues with poultry and wouldn't be entertaining this rubbish.
Oh my God, that actually would take a really dark turn, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Oh my
All
God.
The nonsense about Kenton's diary and Janet Adkin. I bet he got her, the other girl mentioned in the diary, pregnant to mirror the whole Ben Chelsea storyline.
Wow.
And Kenton will be the one to talk David round. No. A short and to the point one from me this week. I write this from a sun lounger in Lanzarote.
Oh,
but I've still had my fix from Harriet this week as my son is obsessed with her new CBeebies show. Not sure if I can mention colour blocks on air.
Colour blocks?
So I've been woken by her dulcet tones most mornings, thanks to iPlayer. Reuben loves green, she says.
Green! Come on, little frog. Let's find your family. You would be sick if you watched it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely charming and gorgeous.
Okay.
So nice. Green is no one's favourite character, but that is so nice to hear.
Oh.
Because green's a bit of a goody two-shoes.
Oh, okay.
Green! That's basically what I do for six
episodes. Say hello, Reuben, in Green's voice.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
then,
a good idea.
Yeah.
Hello, Reuben. How are you? Are you enjoying colour blocks? Come and play. Is that creepy?
Woohoo! Well, it is for me, but you know, I'm not Reuben. So presumably, Reuben is probably leaping up and down, screaming with excitement.
I'm trying to remember the song. Green is life, life is green. It's a really good song. I've got a whole song.
Okay, we'll get Matt Rodriguez Payne onto that.
It's a great song. There's some really good songs in it. And in a few episodes' time, I'm coming in as another character.
Is it Red?
A different one. No, Morgan's Red. Red kicks it off. Red is the main beast. Because green's a secondary colour, Lucy.
Okay.
There's some really cool colour facts that you don't know as an adult, but if you watch to the end, you're like, wow.
Okay.
It's something to do with, like, you know, printing and, you know, like, printer colours and all that.
Yes.
There's, like, a science to it. And
okay.
What is a colour? Oh, it's really hard, Lucy, actually. I mean, it's a CBeeb show, but there's some deep stuff going on in it, honestly. I was like, I don't know if I understand this. When the colour
wheel
episode...
Maybe Ruben could explain it to you. Just run through it with you afterwards.
Can you get him to watch the colour wheel episode and then explain
and then
it?
Just give us a... Just get him to send us a little explainer video. That would be fine. Sarah,
I remember saying in the record, oh my God, this is incredible. I had no idea, but I've already forgotten what I've had no idea. What some amazing
I can't remember what I didn't know. Oh, she's emailed again. to say,
can you just shut up?
Please tell Harriet not to do any more green messages to Ruben because he's now crying. She said, now we know the other woman was, it's an update. Now we know the other woman was Clary and Janet disappeared. So my guess is that Janet was pregnant, likely followed by a sad ending in a young mother's home or similar. And the Chelsea Ben outcome will be the happier version of what happened with Kenton and Janet. Kenton will still need to get involved to talk Dave down. Really?
This is extraordinary stuff.
Yes. But seriously, Jolene, what is she up to? I normally love Jolene, but she's acting like a meddlesome 13-year-old, and I'd be fuming if I were Kenton. And Georgie and Eddie, let's just say my turkey flu mass cold prediction still stands. And after this week, Eddie bloody well deserves it, the giant child. I wouldn't be averse to Georgie getting his neck wrung along with them either. What a gobshite. I won't even get started on the fact that David and Ruth have taken a leaf out of Philip Moss's book. And not only are they continuing to exploit pensioners as domestic servants, but now they've even roped one into unpaid labour as an octogenarian Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen. Shameless, the pair of them. God bless Leonard, though, and his fabulous knowledge of Scandi decor. I love this man more every day.
Yes,
get out
too.
Of there, though, Leonard. Stick to Stockholm-inspired interiors, not Stockholm syndrome. Lots of love to you all, Sarah.
It should be a rule that every episode has to have Leonard in it.
Can I pay cash for that, Jolene?
Calm us all down.
I'll have a lager splash.
Oh, a lager splash. but you know, like Jolene's being naughty, but Kenton let her read it. Kenton has been arrogant about his diary because usually you'd be like, it's too excruciating for anyone.
It's just embarrassing. It's
awful.
Because you're a tit when you're that age.
Exactly. Yeah. You are a total dick.
There's an entire programme. But made out of it on Radio 4.
But he actually, which is brilliant, isn't it, actually? But he let Jolene read it. So he was obviously like, I think I was a pretty cool cat back in the day. So he's only got himself to blame for everything.
Oh, they've all only got themselves to blame.
Yeah, they've all got themselves.
Apart from Chelsea, who probably doesn't, anyway. Right. And now, let's go over to Radio.
Radio.
Borsetshire. Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, did you see it? See what? Strictly. What else is on? Apart from the bake-up, where someone cry when their chocolate melt and everyone say, oh, it is okay, it still look great, when it look like food poisoning in a baking tray. Who do you think is going to win? Tony Adam look like he have never heard music before, never mind the dance. Okay, sorry. Hello, this is me, Fabrice Orfelpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today I am talking about the offsprings. Couples fall in love and they have the offsprings. Sometimes nice, sometimes not so nice, but you have to say, oh, isn't the offspring lovely, it look like you, because really all parents are sad that their baby looks so screwed up and annoyed and you want to make them feel better. But you cannot say, oh, don't worry, he will not always look that ugly, I have found. I myself do not want to have children. They are not very style, the small ones. Even if you put them in baby Balenciaga, they still have the stuff coming from their nose and want to sing Peppery Pig all day, so they are not for me. But today, the problem I wish to discuss is the teenagers. Really, they are mostly like toddler. They yell and shout if they do not get their own way, think everything is unfair, no one understands what they say, and they think all food is disgust unless it come in a brightly coloured box. But they do not sing Peppery Pig quite so much unless it is on TikTok and is ironic. So my phone in today is about teenager, how to deal with them, live with them and get rid of them when you are fed up with them. Firstly, we have Lady Elizabeth Lower Loxley. Good afternoon, your Lady Inez.
Hi, Febreze. My take on this would be that teenagers can be very rewarding once you get past the awkward stage of staying out late, bunking school, getting involved with a paedophile and going to prison. The trick is to not overreact. I remained calm by staying drunk for around 3 years, and I can really recommend it.
Oh, thank you, Lady Elizabeth. That is good advice. I was a very wild teenage. My poor mother would become very angry because I did not always wait for her to watch the next episode of Help! My goat is a relative. Oh, we have another call.
Hi, Febreze. Oh, they're just dreadful teenagers. Awful. If they're not getting pregnant, then they're getting other people pregnant. I'd been so thorough with my facts of life chats. And with the AI man here so often, all the children think it only works if you're up to your shoulder with rubber gloves on. I'm sick of the lot of them, Febreze. I tried putting them up for adoption, but no one wants them. I even tried EB and the Nextdoor app. I chucked them all out, but they've only gone half a mile. I'm normally such a sunny, optimistic soul, but they're really taking it out of me.
Oh, this sounds awful. Oh, I am glad I do not have them. It is bad enough with Kelly Marie, although she seems happier now she has taken up gardening and is growing lots of little plants by the dryers. But even so, I still find her very annoying.
Hi, Febreze. I'd agree with that. My daughter Phoebe, who is now knitting seaweed coats for mussels in the Orkneys, well, let's just say the teenage years were very challenging. Binge drinking, temper tantrums, drugs, impulsive decisions. She wouldn't join me at all in any of them, and it was so disappointing. I thought it could be real mother and daughter bonding, you know, both of us off our boxes, talking to the silage clamp.
Oh, yes. I myself was quite a wild youth. My friends and I would ride around the capital of Eurovisia on our souped-up donkey with the loud music playing and drinking the local drink, which is made from crushing pineapple and sugar and alcohol, and then you throw away the pineapples and the sugar. Oh, I was an L raisin. So, if you are dealing with teenager, just try not to kill them. That is the main thing. And just remember, they also can be style. If they are pale, moody and sulk, then sign them up to be model for Prada. They might have to walk down catwalk wearing anorak upside down or something, but you can spend what they earn in Spacey NK to cheer yourself up. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Oh no, it's red. It's you.
Red? I'm green, Lucy.
God.
I'm going to do that every time now.
Excellent.
I'm just looking
for
my script. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. Oh, we did have a good old Zoom, didn't we?
We did. It was lovely.
It was so nice.
We have really the nicest Patreons. We were actually saying afterwards because, you know, you never know who's... listening, quite frankly.
We were all a bit nervous, yeah. Let's face it.
And they were so lovely. So it was nice. Just like having a lovely... Well, it was a lovely chat with lovely
people.
It was like really nice.
Doing a Zoom quiz with your friends.
Yes.
Except only me and Jeff and you got the questions.
Yes.
Which I think we just need to... everyone needs to do the questions next time.
Okay.
We can ask them the questions, Lucy.
Okay.
Because they know about us. We don't know about them.
No, that's true.
So, if you've got any questions you want to
ask yourself. Is there anything you'd like to find out about yourself? Then, where are my keys, maybe? Or, what did I do with that blue top? You know, then email us and we'll ask you that.
At any subscription. anyway, that was fun. So, you could be a part of that. you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at At on Ambridge. I thought you were changing that.
I forgot. Oh,
sorry. Time's up. Thank you and goodbye.
No.
Thank you for listening. Who's that? Was that Cooper?
William just messaged me to say there's a £5 coin now. I don't know why he felt the need to message me in the middle of the podcast to tell
me that.
That's
important.
But anyway, he clearly felt it was worth interrupting everything for. Well done, William.
It's our new King Charles.
Oh.
Do you remember? I remember there was some sort of jubilee or anniversary or something, and my granny, so it must have been a long time ago, got me a giant coin with the Queen on it.
Yeah, my grandma always used to do that as well.
What would it have been, though? Like, and also, what did I do with it?
Well,
maybe it would be
where
like
is it? Maybe
pounds.
That's one of the questions that people could ask you.
Where is that giant coin?
What was it? Where is it? And how much is it worth?
It's in Kenton's little pawn stash.
In his hole that he forgot about.
In his dirty hole. Ew. Kenton, let's have a rummage in your dirty hole. See what else we can
blow
find.
The cobwebs out of it.
Yuck. Yeah, but Clary never got a good look at this, did she?
Jacqueline, my favourite bit of the whole week was when Clary went, I've got to get Mia some flour.
And then just scuttled off when Kenton approached.
Hello, Kenton.
Clary is definitely underused.
She is. She is, because her and comic timing is so good.
Why? Yeah, exactly. Why couldn't we have a scene with Clary and Eddie instead of get rid of that yucky old boy?
And I
turn
don't.
Him into
I don't.
A human.
Also, I don't like Clary being on the outside all the time, listening to them. Ha 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 ha! Aren't we clever?
No,
aren't we funny? Aren't we hilarious? You know. And
no, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Anywho,
you can.
Find us, Febreze is fabulous, Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
Now, this week, Matt Rodriguez Payne,
yes,
who's clearly a bit fed up with the Archers this week, he's done the Archers Imperial Death March. Because he said Darth Vader himself had a surprise offspring, as we find out in The Empire Strikes Back. And the menacing nature of the music really suggests to me that this could be accompanying a chase scene involving Vince, Jazza, possibly David, Ben, and a pair of bricks. Deeply disturbing.
Oh, I'm really excited about this.
Ready?
Yeah. Oh, I love this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. I was...
Josh is your father. Ben is not your father.
That might be the twist.
I was imagining...
Kenton is the daddy.
Oh my God. I was imagining Jill chasing Ben, Beth out of a darkened farmhouse with that playing in the background. Matt, that's genius.
Ace.
I love that.
That was brilliant.
We need to say goodbye now because my supermarket delivery is coming.
This time of night, Lucy, it's bedtime.
It's 20 past nine.
It's bedtime.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It's actually 20 past bedtime for me.
Exactly. On a 20 past bedtime. Lucy, it's a Friday night.
What can I say? I'm just so rock and roll, Harriet.
You know I love a supermarket delivery. Mm. Who's delivering?
Ocado.
Yeah, but who? You know, they text you.
The man.
the woman.
He's probably in an aubergine van or something, isn't he? That's what they like to tell you.
Matt or Jacob in a citrus van.
In a massive cucumber because he drew the short straw and all the other vans were taken. He's very humiliated and won't make eye contact.
I don't know why I'm looking at my texts when they didn't text me.
It will be delivered by Luke in Apple Van.
Oh, that's exciting,
Lucy. I know, and I have no missing products, that's all so good.
Don't forget to give back your bags.
I won't. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad I don't have to unpack it, though.
Thank you very much.
So enjoy that.
I've got my ingredients for Christmas puddings.
Of course you have. That's why you're having a late delivery.
Is there any, your dad's not allergic to nothing, is he?
Nothing.
Okay.
Oh, that's very exciting, Lucy. Mm. Wow, he'll be completely flabbergasted.
Okay, if he chokes on it and has a fatal incident, don't tell me, will you? Because I'll feel terrible.
Well, I will if he dies.
Okay. No, don't. I don't want to know.
Which is really awkward. But when you like next ask me how my dad is, and then I'll be like...
thanks for the pudding. You know, next time, maybe mention that you've put the new £5 coin in it because it's wedged sideways across the
throat. I dare you to put the new £5 coin in and send it to King Charles.
Choked on his own coin. Now, he's waited all this time to be king, and the first thing that happens is he
choked on his own gold. Kenton, you see, not so much a socialist now, are you?
I think I might be a socialist. Oh, shut up, you little tit.
Oh, shut up, you twerp.
It did lead me, though, to reread bits of Adrian Mole, and I laugh like a drain because of that diary entry. So, you know, it's not all bad.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Mm. That's probably what it was. No, it wasn't inspired by that.
I was thinking about Janet Adkins as Pandora.
Yeah, well, it is a good name. They came up with a
good name. Come back brown and tanned and healthy. God, you're lucky your daddy's wealthy. Said when she went on holiday. Anyway, we will now sign off and sign I will play the Imperial Death March as we go, which seems singularly appropriate. Ta-ra all, love Bye-bye. You lots. Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
You little weirdo.
Good night, everybody.
Stop it, you're scaring me.
See you at the end of the rainbow.
Go away.
All right, I'm just gonna niggle you all night.
No, you're not, because I'm going. Bye!
You're gonna cut me off.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.